Still in the subject of family, in particular, we're talking about child training. And taught on this in the past several times, other times here, other churches as well, because it's so important. Children don't come with a how-to book outside of this one here. And so if you know the book, it'll help you. I mean, listen, a Christian home has a great advantage over the rest of the world. Because you have the scriptures that guide you, right? Show you what to do. So we're going to continue on this morning. We were talking last week about those cords. Cords are basically that the connection between parent and child. And as a parent, the more cords you can insert or get in that relationship, the better off you're going to be. When the cords are broken, of course, that's where problems arise. So when we're looking at those things, you got to watch out for those broken cords. Broken cords are the fault of the parent. Broken cords are not the fault of the child. And you got to take ownership of that. I talked about that last time as well. You're the adult. You're the one that can read and understand and reason. You can look at scripture and come up with all these things and see all these things. It's the fault of the parent. It's just like when I counsel with marriage counseling with the couple, and you start talking to them about, you know, I was talking about problems with marriages to my nephew and his future wife, and you know, we're talking about, and I looked him in the face and said that a lot of responsibility falls on the man, because the man's not in. I said, I took him back to Genesis where it says Eve was in the transit, but Adam, he wasn't ignorant. He wasn't he went into it knowing exactly what he was doing. He wasn't deceived. So I put a lot of blame there. I do the same thing with parents. Parents have a tendency, you know, well, the child should just learn to. No, it's all in the training. So you got to watch out for those things. Don't, the fault can be yours. A lot of times fathers will push their children too hard. They will demand too much. And they'll be too critical when the goals that they have set aren't met. That's more of a man. A woman, I don't see that as much in a woman, but I definitely see it in a man, being a man myself and a father. And what it does when you drive those things to a child, it becomes very hard for that child to associate with you, to be part of that unit of the family. So you have to be careful about those things. And you got to be careful it's not too hard. It's not too much. You're not too critical. I've known parents, you know, all they do is just harp on all the bad things their kids do. There's no positive, you know, feedback at all. I mean, the idea here, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Does the Lord just walk around beating the snot out of you all the time? I'd have to say no. There's times where he's like a nurse, the Bible says in the New Testament. He'll nourish you up. He'll cherish you. He'll try to help you out. The Lord's not that way. So we have to, as parents, you have to be balanced along those things. Sometimes you got to lighten up. Sometimes you got to curb the criticism at times. There's a time where some criticism is good. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, what? Exhort. A third of that is exhortation. That's a positive, right? So it's along those same lines. And try to find the good sometimes, not just the bad. I think sometimes all we're looking at as parents, at least for fathers, you look at a child and go, all right, what are they doing? It's wrong. It's bad. And you're going to just dwell on that. I think you got to give some of the props to them from time and again. And if you do those things, I think it'll keep those cords together. I got a note here. You can't lead your child closer to God than you are yourself. When you lead means you've been to that territory, you've been to that ground. You can't lead your child closer to God if you're not closer to God yourself. So it's a relationship with the Lord, a union with the Lord, a walk with the Lord is very crucial in this. Because there's those areas where, for instance, one of my kids would break one of my rules or whatever I put down in the house, and I'd have to ask the Lord, hey, what do I drop the bomb on them here, or is it a verbal thing? And there are times where the Lord will have you curb some things, or no, he'll say, you know, this is a full-blown, you know, discipline or training period, and we're going to go through those things. First Timothy chapter 3, verse number 4. I'm talking about a preacher, one that rules well his own house, having his children, look at, in subjection with all gravity. So when Paul talks to Timothy about this subject, about their children in subjection, Hudson was asking a question the other night, and his dad answered it very well over there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 2. Hudson was actually asking, what's this promise thing mean? And because it talks about with promise. And, of course, that's a reference to the giving of the law in the Old Testament. And his father showed him that over in the book of Exodus, that thou may live us long, right? A long life. That's the promise that comes with following mother and father. And so these things touch every aspect of the Christian life and the Christian growth. But having children in subjection with all gravity, gravity is a constant. Gravity does not change, right? You take something up high and let it go, it always falls down, right? If there's weight to it, that's what it does. And so the cord building that's needed, and it's the difference between being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and we've brought this up before, but it's like following the Spirit of God, having liberty there, or following the law. The giving of the law was rigid. It's hard, but you have to have that other aspect of that cord being built. I'm going to talk about spankings now. Talk about, that's what my parents call them. Scripture's got different takes on it. Good friend of mine that I went to Bible school with, Bobby Carter, he's from North Carolina. Down there, they get a, what's them little branches called? A switch, yeah. And when he would get in trouble, his mom would say, go pick out a switch. He'd have to go get his own switch and bring it to mama. And, of course, mama would take that switch, and that was the apparatus that was used. He called them whippets. I got a whippet. That's what he used to say. It's more of a southern term. My parents, it was a spanking. And we'll see those things. But that's what my parents called them. And they called them, you're going to get a spanking for that. And so let's go over, we'll give you all the rundown. I've given you these verses before. Go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, Proverbs 13. What we're about to look at is what modern psychiatry, right, modern education. I wish Kim was here this morning. Kim Fink's been a teacher now for 30 years. And they now have counselors. She teaches in a school system not too far from us, but they have counselors that come in, and the counselors are there to handle the difficult children. And so Kim's old school, and she lays down the law. Kids got to abide by it. She doesn't put up with any of that kind of stuff. And she said they had this counselor come in, first year or second year counselor, I think first year counselor. Green as all get out, you know, was taught all this stuff in college and how to handle all this kind of stuff. And she had a problem child. So the counselor wanted to win this child over to her side. In other words, wanted to be a friend. And so this kid was good. This kid knew how to manipulate mom and dad and everybody else, and manipulated this counselor. And this counselor was handing out candy and all this kind of stuff. And the kid was going back and doing the same thing he's been doing for the last, you know, 3-4 months. And what's funny is watching the progression. That counselor now has been watching Kim and a couple of the other older teachers that are there. I tell you what, when these older teachers retire, I don't know what's left in some of the public schools. It's, you know, they're bringing this stuff. This gal wanted to be their friend instead of laying down the law, making that kid be disciplined. It was none of that. And it was, but she was talking about this counselor now who has now changed her tune by watching the older teachers. She's taken her education, her psychology, she learned to kind of put it to the side and watched what these older teachers have been doing. And now she's not a friend so much of the kid. She's all about asserting what the teacher was saying as far as discipline goes. And so the things that we're going to look at, they're not things that modern school systems will use. It's the old, back in the day, it was Dr. Seuss, right? And so we're going to give you what the Word of God has to say on the subject. And if you're thinking about getting married, or you're married, or you got kids, you're going to have kids, these are verses you should make a list of. I've got them listed out in my Bible. Thank you. Look at that. I call him Butler Tom. He's a good guy. I've been reading that book Phil gave me, and they had a butler in the White House. I think it was President Arthur. No, the guy after him. When they brought electricity in the White House, the president was afraid to turn the switch on and off because he thought he'd get electrocuted. So he hired a guy to turn the lights on and off. And he was in the White House for 43 years. Yeah. Oh, it was a great job. He'd just stand there. And it was so much so that if he was sick or not there, when he would lay down, he would have to fall asleep with the lights on. And I'm thinking, this is a president of the United States. Yeah, that's brought that up. But that's all. That's free. Nothing there. Proverbs chapter 13. I'm just telling you, people get mad when I show them these things or I teach these things because they're, well, do you really believe? I'm just going to show you the Bible. We're just going to make a few comments. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 24. Look at he that spareth his rod hateth his son. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. The words of God said that. But he that loveth him, all right, so now he's going to show you the difference between a parent that loves their child and a parent that hates their child. And this is not my commentary. This is what God told Solomon to put down, and this is what he puts down. He says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, look at this, chasteneth him betimes. Betimes, the old word for a lot of times. I was telling Amish the other day, we're talking about discipline, and I said, yeah, between the ages of 7 and 9, I think I got beat every day. I don't mean beat. I got a spanking. But here's what he's talking about. He's talking the difference between loving a child or hating a child. And so if you truly love a child, in accordance to this verse here, you're going to have to discipline him. You're going to have to train him. When we started down this teaching on children and training children, if you don't love your child and discipline or train your child, what you're doing, you are short-sighting them for the rest of their life. I don't care what job you have. I don't care if you're the CEO. Everybody has a boss. I say this all the time to the guys. Now, they say, well, you're the boss. I say, well, I'm not really the boss. My customers are the boss. I have to do what they want me to do. And a lot of times they make me do things I don't want to do, but that's a whole other day teaching for another time. But everybody, you know, you have a boss. You have a boss. And your children are going to have to follow a boss at some place in their life. They're going to have to follow authority in their life, whether it's a school teacher, whether it's the police officer that pulls them over for speeding. They're going to have to, if they don't, I mean, these guys nowadays are getting pulled over and they take off running. In their mind, the police are bad. Are there bad police? Sure. Are there bad doctors? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a ton of them. Are there doctors who kill people every year? Yeah, they kill about a couple hundred thousand people a year. Doctors do. Does that mean you don't go to a doctor? I mean, it's ridiculous how they talk about this or that. But listen, at the end of the day, training a child, right, is going to help them in a lot of manners. And we'll get to a couple in a minute. But it's this idea of training them. You spare the rod, you spoil the child, is the saying. That's what people used to say for years. And so the rod should not be spared. This is where the understanding of the authority, the final authority in the Word of God, we say this, that the Bible, the King James Bible, is our final authority in all matters of faith and of practice. How you practice, the things you do, you have to find it here. Had a lot of discussions in the last couple of weeks with a lot of different people, and they talk about those things on the, you know, on the outside, things way out here, or this or that, or whatever the subject was. And those are things you can talk about. The one thing I was talking about to a guy, and I said, we can talk about those things, but I don't build a whole doctrinal belief off of those things. And it's similar to what we're looking at here. As far as sparing the rod, it says there that you don't love your child. And so we have that advantage. That advantage is the scriptures tell us what we have to do. I mean, think about it in this manner. Who made man? God did. In the beginning, God. He created the heaven and the earth. He made man. God who made man now puts in writing what we're supposed to do as far as training or disciplining our children. God puts it down. So the one who made us knows our psyche, knows how a child is, knows how that human nature is, right? We talked about an infant cries because they have needs and they cannot sustain themselves, so they cry, so the parents get involved in the sustenance that child needs. But God knows all that, and this is what he said. We'll see what the Bible says in a minute over in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12, he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, the scriptures say. Very important. And so the rod has told us to use the rod. And if you use the rod, you use the rod because you care. The rod is the tool, right? God said must be used. You're supposed to use the rod. That's how it's supposed to be done. If you deviate from that, you have erred in the scriptures. You know, the old that nowadays they tell Johnny to go take a time out and sit in the corner. Well, that's not scriptural. And we'll talk about the emotion part of those things in a minute. But let's look at a lot of these scriptures. Go to Proverbs, since we're going to run through the book of Proverbs. There's plenty of them in here, but you ought to mark them down. Just read them for yourself and you look at them. When you start to read them, the Spirit of God inside is going to say, yeah, that's right. And it's just a matter of making application of those things. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 11. Proverbs 3:11. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. What do we figure out from that? We figure out that as a child sometimes will despise the chastening of the father. And he says here, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't be weary of it. Correction is good. Correction is a good thing. If you never corrected anybody, I got in a conversation with a customer. You know, your guys did this and that, your guys did that. And I said, I got to go talk to them. Well, don't talk to them. I said, how are they going to improve if they're making a mistake and I don't address it? Now, the bottom line was he was full of hot air and he was saying something, but he didn't want me to take it to the guys because he knows the guys didn't do what he said they did. And that was, you know, and I said, why don't you want me to correct them? I mean, I'm all about, we call it better practices, right? You do something, and every job you can look at it and go, you know, we could have done this maybe a little bit better, or that a little bit better. And you self-analyze, you look at how you perform a job and all that kind of stuff. And here's a guy telling me, oh, they did this. But then when I tell him, well, I'm going to call them on the carpet. I'm going to bring them up to you and you're going to tell them what they did wrong. Oh, no, we don't need to have to do that. And to find out later on, he was just doing that as a ploy, you know, just trying to do those things. Look here in I took you to 3, right? 11, verse 11. My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, look at this, he correcteth. So God's showing you that if he loves his children, he does what? He corrects them. We're since the fall of man is, what's that verse over there? Oh, Genesis chapter 6, right? The thought of men in their heart was only evil continually. God was grieved about that. He saw that. That's the nature of man. Our nature is that we need to be corrected because our nature is wrong. It's not right nature. I always appreciate my mom, even when she told my her grandkids, which are my kids, that you're a bunch of little sinners. People used to go, I can't believe your mother. She's a grandmother. She's telling those your kids that they're wicked sinners. I go, well, they are. Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, right? Listen, it's just being real. People nowadays aren't real about, they think their kids are good and perfect and they don't do anything wrong. They only try to look for the, you know, that's that lopsided. They only look for the things that they like to see. But notice what he says there. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. When it comes to these things, look at God's position is, if he loves somebody, he's going to correct him. He's going to chastise him. It's kind of like over there in the book of John, when he talks about a fruit bearing. If you want to produce more fruit, you have to prune the tree back. You have to cut out the branches that seek their own glory. We call them suckers when I was a kid. There's branches in the apple trees. Every year they'd bud and they'd shoot straight up. And they would be taller than all the other branches. There'd be on a semi-dwarf tree, there might be 10 or 15 branches. They just go straight up. All they're shooting up is for themselves. And so we would come in this time of year, springtime, and we call all the suckers. Yes, I want all the suckers gone. So all those branches that shot up. The branches that go out are going out to bear fruit. And so if you want to produce more fruit, you have to get rid of the bad branches. You got to get rid of the stuff that's in that tree that's not of any value to the tree. And so you snip it away. You get rid of those things. And so there are things. It's when a parent can't admit that their kid has problems or their kid needs discipline or their kid needs training. When a parent doesn't believe that their kid needs any of that, it's going to be nothing but trouble. You're going to fight that hand and fist from here on out. So this is the Lord's take on those things. Go over to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs is a wisdom book. It's full of a lot of wisdom. And it's a lot of wisdom when it has to do with child training. The verse we're about to look at is the reason why jails are stuffed full of inmates. This is why. You want to know the answer? It's why. Black Americans, in their culture, children are growing up in households where over 60, was it 65 or 67% have no fathers. They have no father figure in the house, just moms. Look at verse 18. He says this, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Now that hope is when a child is young. This is why when they're young, they have to be trained. He says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul, look at, spare for his crying. I can tell you as a grandparent, when my daughter or my son-in-law are spanking the child and I hear that child screaming, as a grandfather, I go, oh, come on, man. It wasn't that bad. He just headbutted me. Just a little bit of blood coming out of my nose when he headbutted me. It's not a big deal. And I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here, man? I'm running out of testosterone or something, you know. Back in the day, people talk about my dad. Oh, he's such a sweet old man. I said, nah, you're not fooling me. I know how he was when I was a kid. You know what? That's why we don't have kids when we're 60. Amen. I had kids when I was young, and this verse applies because, listen, especially for you ladies, this is a tough thing because a woman responds to a child's cry. You know why? That's just in a woman. A woman hears that child crying, they want to attend to. What's the problem? And when that child, at least my kids, I don't know, I can't speak to anybody else's kids, but my kids, sometimes you give them a spanking and they would cry and they keep going, like it was just killing them. And they got spanked 5 minutes ago and they're still crying. And I'd say, keep it up, you're going to get another one. And they try you out for one time. They keep going and you take them in there and get them more and you look at them and say, you cry again, and you go get it some more. And what happens, and what Solomon's talking about here is, you're going to hear the crying, you're going to be emotionally moved to help the child or stop what's making him cry, which is, in this instance, the spanking, right, the discipline or the training. And what he's saying is, don't spare for that. You can't when it comes, it's almost like when it comes to a spanking, when it comes to discipline, you have to turn off that emotional side. That's why it's very good. And I say this to everybody I talk to on a one-on-one basis. When you discipline your kid or you train your child, it's, you don't raise your voice. You talk in a very calm, demanding, you know, situation. You don't have to raise your voice. You say, listen, you need to stop that right now. And that child is trained. When you talk like that and you discipline your child, you train that way, that child, after the first couple of whoopings, that kid will train into, when I hear daddy and mommy talking like this and they're talking to me, I need to pay attention. You know, I've watched parents, listen, if I ever tell you one more time, I'm going to rip off your head. And the kid's like, I got about three more times before this really turns into something. And the kid looks brilliant and the parent looks like a bunch of idiots. Because they're the ones yelling, I want peace and quiet. It doesn't work. So what does he say? Chase a nice son while there is hope. By the time a kid gets old enough and that chastening or that training didn't work, well, that's what jails are for. That's what problems are for. Listen to a lady the other day. She's talking about how, well, you know, people are starving and they steal for food. You know, you got to have compassion on it. They have welfare. They have food. If you want food in this country, I mean, we have a problem with obesity, not with people starving. And so people want to, and that's a woman who is, she was talking, she's emotional. I understand where she's coming. She's feel bad for someone who's hungry. But listen, you can go to almost any Presbyterian church or Methodist church and they will give you something to eat. I saw a guy in front of me pulled up to a street corner this week, the guy holding a sign, you know, and of course, the guy gives him some money. And, I mean, that stuff goes on all the time. So you're supposed to chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. It's a hard thing to do. Don't get me wrong. As a parent, you're like, man, I don't want to have to do this. And he said, well, you should. You should do that. Look over here. Go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Now, again, I don't write these verses. We're just looking at what the scriptures say. Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15. Boy, isn't this true? Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. That's part of that nature that's in there. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so does it get rid of it all the way? No, but it drives it out in the distance. It drives it out in the place where it's not going to have as much influence. And so there you have it. You have this foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from it. Foolishness, the thought of foolishness is sin, he says over there. Here's the thing. He says the rod is what drives it far from him. If you don't, let's look at someone who doesn't use the adjustment of the rod, foolishness that becomes abounding in that child and then that teenager and then eventually that adult. In other words, there's no throttle. There is no governor. Foolishness is allowed to run rampant. You don't, you know, it's like a kid running through a room with a bunch of old folks in it and ready to knock them down. That's foolishness, right? And so there's an adjustment. The adjustment is needed. That's why, again, what is that activity that child is involved with? If it's foolish as a parent, you have to look at it and say, we can't have it. And we got to nip it in the bud. We got to stop that thing. We're gonna say, hey, you know what? Not gonna happen. Look over Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Now remember, the rod is the tool. The rod is the tool God subscribes. So that's what we ought to do. Proverbs chapter 23. Look down there in verse number. Oh, pick it up in verse number 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now that you can take that application, that thing, in many directions, but it keeps you from trouble. It'll keep you from the electric chair, your physical life. But he says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver, look at this, his soul from hell. So the application there in verse number 14 is really big, because he talks about a deliverance of the soul of that child. So correction, if done correctly, not incorrectly, but done the right way, sets a pattern up in the heart and the mind of that child, so that child can respect authority, can respect, like when mom and dad say, this is what's going to happen if you do that, and then you follow through on those things, the consequences for their wrongdoing, there's a payment and a judgment for those things. As you train a child that way, when they are presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? When they are presented with what the Bible says, they'll relate that or correlate that to all the training you have done as a parent where, yes, if I do this, there's consequences to bear. When I am told that I am a sinner, well, how do I get right with God? There's consequences for that, right? And so it brings salvation to bear on a young heart. That's what's important. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about this idea of this child and this child having his soul delivered. So he says, withhold not correction from the child. If you love your kid, you correct him. If you don't, you don't. If you don't correct him, it's because you don't love him. Here's what you'll find out. When a parent doesn't want to correct their child, they love themselves more than they do the child. And that is because their emotions have come into play where you think it's one of two things. Number one, if God said to correct them and train them, you look at that and say, well, God really doesn't know what he's doing. I'm going to do it. And listen, you can raise your kid any way you want. There's what God is prescribing that we're looking at here in Proverbs this morning. You can raise it that way. And this is what God says. And you can say, well, I don't agree with God on this point. Or number two, you just think you have a better way of doing it. It's like somebody, I remember my cousin after my grandmother died, and he called my parents' house, and I was there. My mom said, you need to talk to him, and it was my cousin Richard, and Richard was telling me how he was going to get to heaven. And I gave him the gospel, I said, Richard, there's only one way. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, you know, running down all these scriptures and trying to explain to him. And he said, hey, cuz, I'm going to get there my own way. I said, you can't. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways. I said, Richard, you're not going to get there. God has set a plan. God has set a way. The only way you can get there. And he said, well, I'm going to get there my own way. Well, I said, that's going to land you in hell. That's what. And parents do the same thing with their kids, and they say, well, I know the Bible says, you know, don't spare for their crying, the Bible, all these things that you're looking at. And listen, the modern world, when you present this to a boy, they say, this doesn't work. They say this, a great example is the Amish community. Most of the guys we work with, they're not saved per se, some of these Amish guys, but they understand authority. They've been trained. You know, they do their job and all the things that you would want in a worker. And so there's this idea that parents at times think that God's way really isn't the best way, and they kind of think that their way is a little bit better. The pressure is, it's you have to be tactful, right? I mean, there were times you take your kids somewhere and they're acting poorly, and you look at them in the face and you say, when we get home, we're going to deal with it. And you would deal with it. And the next time I look at them and say, we get on, and they knew. By the time the third time came around, I just looked at them. See that look? That's the look. He knows it. I wonder if Mount Carey's not here in the back. I give him a look. And Timmy will tell you. I give you that look. You knew you were in trouble. And you didn't want to see that look. It was the bad actor look. You know, I was like, go ahead, punk. Make my day. Right? I mean, Clint Eastwood, he ain't got nothing. But you know what? You take your kids somewhere and people are like, oh, your child is, you know, it's that thing of, I'm just following the book. The world doesn't, I mean, it's the world saying, in other words, the world is saying, we know the best way to raise the kids. And they've been telling us for 40 years that message. Well, let me ask you, are children today better today than they were when I was a kid? Not even close. Chucky Utlak was a nutshell. He's a crazy kid. But you know what? His dad would spank him. I mean, dad would rip off his belt, get him in the garage. He's up against his mom's, what's that car that Tesoro's had? Mustang. They had a Mustang with the paint that's two-toned. Yeah, and the kid put his hand, and she loved that car. Mrs. Utlak loved that car. And Chucky's got his hands on there, and his dad's going, what you? I'm just like, they didn't go to church, not one time. They never read a Bible in a day in their life. Nowadays, kids are manipulative, especially to each other. I mean, and not, I'm not talking like 16, 17, or 18. They do it at 8, 9, and 10. So the world tells us that, you know, well, it's better to do it this way and, you know, have a little timeout. And if you talk and you get your kid to just really, see where you're coming from. The kids are kids. They don't, it's not that difficult for them. They're going to do what they want to do unless you change that in them. And so it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And the world doesn't know how to raise them. You know what they do now? They prescribe them medication. Probably the worst thing for them. And I'll give you my 2 cents on all this. What's it, Adderin or whatever that? Adderall, not Adderin, Adderall. You know, so what they do now, a kid that they say is hyper. I mean, full of energy as a little kid. I mean, I bounce off walls, right? I'm like Hudson. Hudson gets here early. You know why he comes here early? This is like the training center for him. He just runs. He just keeps running. And there's nobody here, so it's fine. It's like him going to the gym, but he comes here for free. He just, and at the end of the day, you know, it's like he runs at the house. And if you don't get enough laps in, he'll just lay in bed. I think he's got to wear up. But, you know, that energy is good. And the world says this, well, it's too much energy because if you're not going to discipline your child, if you're not going to correct your child, he has all this energy. What do I do with it? Well, now they medicate it out of him. They medicate it out of him. They take a little kid with all this energy in life and they give him a bunch of pills and he just sits there. Yeah, exactly. You're ruining the imagination skills that a child will have if you do that. The biggest problem I find with young people that come to work for me is this. They have no imagination. And that, listen, to find out what a problem is and to what I say is problem solving starts when a child is little, when they have an imagination and they're allowed to work out that imagination. And they look at how to figure out how to make this. And Hudson's starting to learn to sound out words, right? So he had a big pile of letters and he brought them in. I was sitting in the Hazel's bedroom in the chair and he comes in. And I'm laying him down. He's really good at 3-letter words. And I had NAP. And it's not a word he's seen before, but he's going, nap. It's nap. I go, yes. He goes, yeah. He was all excited because that's probably the first time he's ever spelled out nap. And so he's got all this energy. He wants to learn all these things and make application. And parents now, because they won't discipline, because they don't truly love their child, because if they did, they would. That's what the scriptures tell us. But this child has all this energy, and you're gonna diminish that because you can't handle it. Hudson likes to dig that hole out by the driveway. He's all, Grandpa, I'm digging a hole. And he has a little shovel we got him, and he digs in that hole, and he puts water. He makes mud pies and stuff. He's just out there playing in the mud. You're like, what is that? Well, that's mixing concrete. That's what that's going to be. Adding water to it. He starts working with us next year. So looking forward to that. Listen, parents, because they have a lot of energy, right, doesn't mean they're bad. It just means you have to direct that in the right direction. You know, I got a picture of Timmy, and he's probably 7 or 8. He's got muck boots on, short pants, and no shirt. Totally looks like a fool, right? He's standing on the tire of the mixer of the last house we added a basement on. He's mixing mud. So maybe just tall. You were at least that tall on the wheel. I'm standing on the wheels. He was 4 in that. Yes, it's that matter of giving them something to do. Directing that thing. And don't be the parent like this world is. You know, most people I do a lot of work for, the children are just something to have. There's just something to have. And you don't want to, it's work. But listen, if you train and discipline, they get to that place, and we'll get to it next week. We got some other verses to run, but it'll be a real help to you. And so God has given us what we need. God has given us a bunch of scriptures, bunch of examples as far as training children, and God's thought on it, God's process on it, not our own. And so we'll look at these things a little bit more next week. We'll take a break there and get back to this next time.